personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petso Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petso, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petso Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petso.
Good morning. Hello. You know, I can't help. There's just so many things coming up here lately. So many things. And so many really crazy things. Nutty things. So many different things that it's like they're getting more and more bizarre to try to grab our attention, right? You know, if it's not enough to say that we spend too much money, and since we spend more than we bring in, the budget deficits are exploding, and we're not even talking about the unfunded liabilities for Social Security, Medicare, and so on, right? Not even talking about that, which is tens of trillions of dollars, and on goes the story. That's not enough. That's not enough, and that's true. See, that's the underlying truth of some of the issues we have to face coming forward. We know that. But it hasn't, and it didn't cause the end of the United States, the collapse of the dollar for, you know, the last 5 years. I'm pretty sure there's been two times per year that's been really, like, written on the calendar. There's the date. That the dollar is going to collapse, be replaced by a world currency, whatever it is. You know, the Chinese are getting together. We need to buy that yuan ruble combo thing, whatever that one was, because the Chinese and Russians were going to get together. And man alive, then that sounds bad. And so we need to, you know, sell more newsletters of the end of the world so that we can show you how to navigate that. Thank you. Ron Paul and Company. So all this goes on, and that's not enough. And so we've gotten into Shemitahs and blood moons, literally blood moons. I have a date here. I just want everybody to mark this down. We'll be doing a blood moon countdown. I believe the fourth blood moon occurs on September 28th. So I would highly suggest using your credit cards now, because after the blood moon, who cares? The fourth blood moon is coming, and that coincides with the Shemitah. So, and then shortly thereafter, we'll be moving to a global dollar. So I guess if we paid off with our dollars, they'll be worthless later, so why not? I mean, this stuff just doesn't end. We got Chuck Willery, right, the famous game show host with some flashing light thing. And apparently, people must be buying flashing light things to, you know, to stop evil doctors from, you know, like doing a knee surgery. You know, because flashing light little thing would, like, is bound to fix my arthritis and my torn meniscus. I'm pretty sure that the flashing light thing, if it would have been around, I wouldn't have needed my knee surgery last year because I just would have put a flashing light thing on, maybe smoked a joint, and I would have been fine. I wouldn't have been feeling anything. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is just unbelievable. I don't know what people buy. Why are you kidding me? It's like, it's unbelievable, the commercials. They must work. They must work. And then I hear this week that there are concentration camps, or there are camps of some kind. 800 of them, I'm told. 800 if you go to certain websites. Again, most of them handled by Stansbury and all these others. You know, they're all kind of connected in this web of get people in. The world is ending. It's all fear-based. But, you know, on top of that, they've got, like, camps set up. They do. So Tom Brown in our office just quickly Googles, you know, these camps or whatever. And pops up a lot of stuff, you know. Goes into all these weird websites where people can, you know, have stuff sold to them they don't need. They can have themselves scared. And then they can talk, I guess, about, you know, the imminent collapse and global dollar and all those things. But, of course, within there is something simple, this, which is there are no camps. I mean, one of the great conspiracy theorists, end-of-worlders of our time, okay, Glenn Beck, king of end-of-world, you know, freeze your food. I just have, can I take a time out here? Because this is the one that actually, this is a really important question, and I'd love to have somebody come call and answer this for me. But I've heard the ad run before where it's like, you know, you can freeze dry a, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but you can have a hydrated or whatever Thanksgiving dinner, and it will last 20 years. And I'm thinking, you might as well say a million years, because who's going to do that and then, like, pull it out 20 years from now? I have no need for a Thanksgiving thing 20 years from now. I don't. I cook one then. I'm not so worried that I'm going to, like, go, okay, you know, every year, just in case, so I have 20 years worth of Thanksgivings, no matter what happens to the world, I'm going to freeze-dry my Thanksgiving dinner. Anyway, I digress. Strange what we're, like, wow, no kidding, I can have a, like, I can cook today for 20 years from now. Awesome. Okay, and then the other, okay, well, just one more thing, okay? So if the world is ending and I'm not going to be able to get my Thanksgiving dinner, where am I going to have electricity to plug in my freezer? Fuel to run the generator. It all gets past me. All right, done with that. This is so important, though. I mean, the fact is that Glenn Beck said, let's go find out about this, and goes out. There are no camps. None. There's zero. How hard was that? It took, what, 2 minutes to completely debunk the concentration camp thing by Googling it? How long does it take to sit down and reflect upon, I'm worried about a dynamic world because of Shemitahs and blood moons? What is really going on inside of me? What is really my problem that I make stuff up? What is going on inside of me is the question I have to ask. Why? Why are we believing nut jobs? Why do you want to believe a nut job? Well, they're not even nut jobs. They're not. They're just really smart people that have convinced people to be scared and come buy their newsletters. They're incredible marketers. Okay, they're con men. Why do we even listen to people like Ron Paul? What's the matter with him? Like last week, does he go home and, like, high-five his wife when he walks in the door? Hey, babe, whoa, yeah, nailed it again. Scared a bunch of old people. That's right. Yep, we're using the family name beautifully. Cashing in some coin before we get out of here. Scared him again, baby. What are we having for dinner? I mean, really? Unbelievable. Just scare, 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 scare. I want to borrow John Lennon's, he has a neat quote here. Life is what happens while you're busy making other plans. So I'm going to turn that around just a little bit. Returns, market returns, are what happens while you fuss over things you can't control. Yeah. Well, figure out when the blood moon is, when Shemitahs are. What's going to happen with these camps that don't exist? Why don't we read everything that Ron Paul and the World Enders print so we can think not clearly, so that we can be completely depressed, so we can be completely convinced that there is no future, that we don't want to start businesses. We certainly wouldn't invest money. And we can hide behind all kinds of stuff. All kinds of, well, they are overspending. And I realize they are. I realize there are lots of problems. But when we get hyper-exaggerated in them, when we get burying ourselves in one blog after the other, and we convince ourselves, cognitive dissonance, that we are right when we're wrong. And we convince ourselves so well that we are convinced that when we are wrong, it is only a sign, not that we're wrong, it's a sign that we're just about to be right. We look for signs instead of living life. Economists are never right about what's coming. Economists, even in the short term, they're not right. It's the most amazing, mystifying thing to me.
Well, you know, the J.P. Morgan economist thinks that unemployment will be X.
Well, it turns out to be Y. Every time.
And interest rates will be...
And they're wrong.
And here's what we think about the market. Wrong again. Here's what we think about overseas, international.
Wrong again. Because why? Are they stupid? No. It's called the future, and you can't be right. And we quote and quote and quote. They're wrong more than the weatherman. They really are. We laugh about the weatherman. Hey, weatherman look like they're never wrong compared to economists. It's like the weather is so predictable compared to the future economy. But everybody's so sure. And so when we're wrong for thousands and thousands and thousands of points, all it does is make people even more stubborn, doesn't it? Doesn't it? We're more sure. We look deeper. We find another person to believe in what it is we believe in. I'm not sure what's going to be next after the September 28th, fourth blood moon combo Shemitah thing that doesn't do anything. Because it won't. I'm not sure what happens after October 20th and we have a new global dollar. Yeah, the end of our dollar. Like the end of our dollar last year with House Bill 2440, whatever it was. By the way, same people that people subscribe to, quote from, that told us all of that last year and the year before and the year before. I'm not sure what it is that's going to be next, but it'll be filled with quotes of Warren Buffett's worried about this. It'll be, where we're going to grab some, we'll get some more Ron Paul quotes. He's in bed with them now. So we'll get some more Ron Paul quotes about world-ending stuff. I'm just not sure when they'll pick that the dollar is going to collapse next and why and what House bill or Senate bill or what CIA guy is saying this. I'm not sure. I don't know what date we're going to be dealing with. But it usually is approximately another year out. Because it gives them a full year to amp up the rhetoric of what's coming and sell plenty of newsletters to, you know, buy gold and zigzag here and there and scare people. And it works. And you say, why are you so about this? Why? Because people can't invest, can't live their life, can't do when they lay around in terror. They really can't. And I often look at this and I say, wow, this is really interesting to me. How this generation, this retiring generation of baby boomers, the people that conquered the world, the people that did change everything. They were creative, innovative. They invented everything we see, right? I mean, it's just amazing. Absolutely, you know, historically, rock stars. Just a rock star generation. Not quite the greatest generation, you know. I get that because of the sacrifice of that generation. But this me generation, the baby boomers, supposedly me, they've been incredible. really incredible. Just seen it have been a dynamic force in the world, a force for good, a force for wealth. Unbelievable, untold wealth. And this is the same group, some of them, after an incredibly successful life, are trying to figure out how it's all going to come to an end instead of enjoying life. It's, to me, puzzling, very puzzling. Why? What's going on? And so it makes me, you know, not fussy, but trying to understand why and how can I reach through that fog? Is there any way, or are they gone? Are they gone? Is this generation of people that are gone? They're going to be gold bugs for life. This is it. It's over. Done. They've gone to the dark side. They're finished. Or can we reach across and pull them back? Is there a way? Are there any thoughts? So we talk about this. We talk about the evidence, right? We talk about the evidence of this. And even if we can't reach across and pull them back from jumping on the latest, I know the dollar didn't collapse, but man, there's concentration camps. Doesn't that make you ponder? What camps? What? Well, they're spying on us. Actually, they're not. No, they're not. Actually. But maybe when we talk about these things in the abstract, and we think about them, we think about all those people out there that grab onto this and then just kind of tie on to the packaged products, right? The packaged products on the side. Like, you know, you can have stock market returns with no risk. No, you can't. You know you can't. But we want to believe that because we live in fear. Fear sells. And it isn't any fun either. I come back to this, I'll leave it as a thought. Look, life is not safe. It's not guaranteed. Life isn't safe. Life isn't guaranteed. Plan all you want. Plan we should. But you can't figure out the future. You can't. And it's amazing to me how all this evidence of, you know, the economists are not, like, never right.
But let's listen to what the economist over here at, you know, Citicorp or J.P. Morgan has to say.
Really? Yeah. Because they might be right this time. You're right. Flip a coin. But putting weight in the future of what people think is just, well, it's nutty. Because we're grasping, aren't we? If life is not safe, if life is not guaranteed, what do we do with that? Get over it. Just get over it. It is what it is. Today is in front of you. Is it a day to grab and enjoy? Or is it a day to ponder the Shemitah and blood moons, the global dollar? Where are we going to build the bunker? I don't think that's a Pollyannish approach to life. That's an abundant approach. That's open your eyes and see the abundance of the world. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hey, Linda, hang with me. We got to take a quick break here, and hopefully you will give us a call as well. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello and welcome back, and thank you so much for joining us. Now it's time to join us on the phone or on email. 580-5436 is our number here, and it's dave@petsofinancial.net. That's our live email for the show. Let's go to Linda. Linda in Emmett, thanks for calling.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm listening to all the naysayers and sounds like Chicken Little, the sky's falling.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
My grandfather used to say there's only two guarantees in this world. one, you're going to pay taxes, and two, you're going to die. You know, it's that simple. And everybody gets all bunched up and has a fit when the market drops. Well, it's the market is going to make a correction. One of these days, when, I don't know, but it's going to make its own correction, and we can't control that. That's, you know, at least I can't. It's beyond my, you know, reach of control of things. And most of the time, I get up in the morning and I say, okay, what's going to happen today? What's coming down the pike? And I don't worry about tomorrow. I don't worry about yesterday because it's gone. I try to make the best of today that I can.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if more people, and this is my own take on things, if more people could learn to live daily and not weekly or monthly or by the years, I think we have a lot happier people in this world.
I think you're absolutely right. I'm not sure what to add to that except maybe an amen. I think that's very well said, Linda. I think that there's no doubt. It's the troubles of tomorrow the troubles of today are plenty. There's no reason to worry about tomorrow. And there's so many different ways of thinking about that. But I think that the danger that we get into is that we get this idea that we can somehow, based on some data, predict the future. And if economists can't do it, I don't know why people sitting around in their houses in their underwear, not even with no financial background, can sit around and figure out why camps are around, which they're not. Why Ron Paul is right. He's just apparently a marketing thief. I just completely lost any respect for him doing this stuff. It's just going on to these well-known scare sites and being a spokesperson for them is ick. Yeah. He's become a prostitute. How's that?
There.
He's become a prostitute. That's exactly what he's become. And to me, when you have somebody who has been put himself as well as people had put him into a kind of a statesman, a spokesperson, an authority figure, to become a prostitute to that is sickening to me. And because people are so easily scared, I just, you know, it just diminishes every other thing that he could possibly barf out of his mouth.
Yep.
So, sorry. I didn't mean to get on this anti-Ron Paul kick, but it's people like that are grabbing on and adding authority to the same old websites that for years, for one thing after the other, are changing why something is ending and selling people on their newsletters. It's crazy.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It's people like Ron Paul who have nothing better to do than sit around and drum their fingers on their desk and die. I know it'll get their attention. I'll say the world's going to end in 3 days, and you better enjoy it while you've got it because it's all going to go away.
Right.
Well, that should happen naturally.
It can. But also, the thing is that we have real economic problems. We don't need to be sitting here talking about why doesn't he take this energy and try to help continue the message that he had for years, which is we're spending too much money. We're spending the futures of our children and grandchildren. That's simply wrong. You know what? You have a clarity of message there. Leave it alone. Leave it alone and quit trying to scare people and drive them to the fear-monger website that pimps gold and newsletters about how the dollar is going to collapse. Stop it. Just stop it.
Yep, I agree.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm done. I want to be happy. I'm going to go in my happy place now. Okay. Linda, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Take care. And we've got to take a quick break here for Fox News. Please do ring us up. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Do ring us up. And if you want to shoot an email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Also, if you missed last week's Micron interview, if you're interested in the local company, hey, catch that on our website, podcast there. Really very, very good. I had a chance to listen to it again. I got a lot out of it, understanding the company, feeling like I do, much better. Really, no, this is not like this is a great time to buy the stock. It's not a great time to sell. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if you want to learn more about what it is Micron actually is doing, what are they thinking forward to? What's the next thing? We talked a lot about that, and of course we touched on, all you can is touch on some weird bid for the company. I just can't imagine some very low ball number from a Chinese firm after they hacked the OMB. I have a hard time thinking any of this is real, but it might put Micron into play. There's no doubt about it. But anyway, if you're interested in that, that's at our website, petsofinancial.com. Also articles, calculators to help you with your financial planning. Click the button if you have a thought, a comment. We'd like to hear from you. And I really do like to hear from you. And thank you for those that do periodically send out a suggestion. Would you talk about this in your education segment? Would you mention that? And things you like, don't like, okay? And if you didn't catch the Men's Health Series, as a second annual one with Dr. Stritsky, that's out there too. So I know, a little different stuff here, but hey, guys, we don't talk about guys. Guys don't talk to guys about guys, right? We just don't. We don't talk about those things. We don't talk about those parts. Women do from a very young age. Men don't. And so we wanted to get that information out. All right, back to us. Back to the world of finance. You know, I've said this many times, and I'm sure we'll talk about it many more. What we know isn't worth knowing, right? Because it's priced in. But okay, that's fine. But if we leave it there, that's clever, that's cute, that's important to remember. But it's also, the next question is what we know correct? And I'm not just talking about concentration or whatever the camps are called. I don't know, concentration camps. But anyway, camps and all the and blood moons and all this nonsense, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what we know as we hear from people, right? I've talked to this about this one a lot. When interest rates rise, that's bad for stocks. No, it's not always. In fact, it's the other way around when interest rates are very low. And we've talked about it enough, so I'm not going to go in there right now, okay? If you want, certainly give me a call, and we'll run through it because I'm sure we will do that again. But we've talked about how literally that is like this well-known and talked about all the time on like CNBC. By economists and smart guys, but it simply isn't true. So the question then becomes, what we know and are being told about certain things like today, emerging markets are commodity producers, and they're just getting crushed. Yeah, you can't touch emerging markets when commodities like energy, copper, et cetera, are in free fall like they are. You're crazy. I don't care about growth rates, blah, 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 right? Sounds true to me. I don't need to check on anything now because I've got all the data, the information I need from smart people that told me commodities, low commodities prices are devastating to the emerging markets. Whew, glad we got that one done. Not true. Well, it's true. But it's also not true, because like everybody else, It doesn't even take a lot of thought. So let's take India, a gigantic producer of what commodity? What? Oil. Do they have a giant offshore reserves? No. So they're a great importer of energy. They're a great importer of minerals. Oh, yeah, they're this huge emerging market country. Taiwan, same, ditto. Hong Kong, ditto. China, ditto. Oh, you're right. Brazil and Russia are going to be hurt. You're right. In other words, some emerging markets, some developed markets are helped, some are hurt. Always. But we want to package these things in a nice, easy box because, gosh, if I could just have a box of knowledge really easy with no depth to it, whew, man, I really wouldn't have to think a lot, would I? So we put things in these little boxes. Be careful. Be careful of whatever we think we know. Be careful. Is that person telling me reality? Not like they're trying to be deceiving, but all of our inputs are just full of noise, constant noise, screaming for our attention. And none of the reporters ever turn around and go, you know, that just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, are all emerging markets exporters of commodities? I mean, can you imagine the money man or the economist going, well, probably not all of them. Well, wouldn't they be helped? Well, you know, the overall, you know, overall of it just is a general thing that, you know, you could like blindly go short emerging. Well, it's a simple question. Would throw the whole dialogue off, wouldn't it? When we're just all on the same thing. Rising interest rates, bad for stocks. Oh, don't dare ask the questions. We don't have time for that. We only have time for the next sensational breaking news. Be careful. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO, dave@petsofinancial.net. Fred, hang on. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Matters with Dave Petso on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number. dave@petsofinancial.net is our email address. Let's go to Fred in Meridian. Fred, thank you for holding.
Hi, how are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm good, Fred.
The other day, or last week, I don't know exactly when, mm-hmm. I got an email from you with instructions to complete this thing, which I did.
Department of Labor.
I really don't understand what would happen that would take away your ability to manage my account.
Right. Fred, it's a great question, and we did talk a little bit last week, but I think it's so worthwhile. And I promise you I'll try to follow up on as we hear about the Department of Labor's bill. Okay, so just as a reminder, just over a year ago, I joined a group in going back and lobbying in D.C. against this rule, and we were really sure it was killed. I mean, within a couple of weeks, they dropped it, Department of Labor. But apparently, they're very determined to do this. And just to give you again the reaction, there was very positive to all of us, overwhelmingly, particularly at the banking committee. But it was one of those things where you look at it and you realize, wow, this is really unique because the Black and Hispanic caucus were siding with the Republicans to try to kill this bill, and most Democrats too. So it was ridiculous. It's just one tyrant bureaucrat And my best guess is that they want to gain control of your IRA because it makes no sense. So for most people, most all of our clients, it will not affect them at all. What it will affect is our ability, as we've always said, we will make a commitment, as many people do, many advisors do, to help people get started, you know, with their $100 a month or $200 a month. Fred, we won't be able to help them. That's who this affects, because they're not in a fee-based account, because they're too small. And so, Fred, that's what it's really rooted in. And having this whole explanation, we were running up against a deadline, and there was no chance when this came out. Please help us. Here's the letter. We didn't have a chance to get through compliance a full explanation of where it would impact you or not impact you. It just in general has a big impact on our industry, but it will impact the smallest investors and not the largest ones.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up, Fred, because it gives us a chance to talk about this. I am mystified why this came up again. And the only answer, thanks a lot to a caller last week, who said, it just seems like it's a control thing. And it was like, boom, of course the lights went on. That's why they're doing it. They want to take over. They want to be, hey, these poor people cannot get financial help. Yes, because you made it illegal for them to get it.
Yeah.
So now we'll step in as the big, powerful government. That's the way progressives think. It's like the bigger government is better. I'm not sure what parallel universe they saw this working on, but it sure doesn't work in anywhere on this earth ever. But that, to me, strikes me as just a power grab, and that's the best I can guess. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Fred, thank you. Thanks for giving us a chance to bring it up again. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. We've got to take our final break for this hour. We do have a free board. Please do ring us up. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Listen, I am very much looking forward to our series here in our education segment. You know, I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was a month ago, but I want to kind of drive back to some of the basics, right? I want to talk about why people invest. People miss on so many things. They skirt the basics, blocking, tackling, right? Vince Lombardi. You know, how are we going to win? We're going to block and tackle better. How are we going to win at investing? How do you stay in? How do you ignore weird stuff? How do you know stuff? Because you have a core of understanding the fundamentals, a core basic belief system that's built on monumentally strong pillars, right? I mean, this is not a house built on sand. These are rocks. They're embedded. They're down to the bedrock stuff, right? Principles, market returns. Risk, volatility, dollar cost averaging, all of these basic things. What is value investing, growth investing? Well, how do we start thinking long term? How do we defeat all of the noise that goes on around us? So I'm going to start talking about that in the next hour here and in many, many shows to come. I want your ideas, though. We love talking about the things that are important to you in our education segment. So periodically something will come up. We'll interrupt that. But I would also like, even within that basics, any comments, shoot those over, dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll address them during the show or make it part of next week's education segment. All right? And, yeah, the market is going through a really sketchy period right now. There's no doubt about it. It's been for a while, right? We've got this churn going on. We've got, you know, European slowdown. We've got China slowdown. We've got U.S. slowdown. Or is it speeding up? Are they going to raise rates? I don't know. Do we have good unemployment numbers? Or are they all phony and weird? It's a tumultuous time. Like almost every time is. But the market is near all-time highs. But it hasn't gone anywhere this year. Just nowhere. We go up a little, boom, comes back down. So it is tumultuous. I get that. But we don't have to watch day to day. There's absolutely no point. We're going back to basics here right after Fox News, top of the hour. Hope you'll join us.
Send off summer with the biggest back-to-school party of the year. Corwin Ford presents Taste of Country Fan Jam. Hey, hey. Friday, September 11th at the Ford Idaho Center Amphitheater featuring Big and Rich. Get ready for a night of incredible entertainment as the best party band in the country returns to rock the Cheeky's main stage with special guest Eli Young Band, Logan Mize, and Chase Bryant. Tickets on sale now at ictickets.com. Don't miss the party, vendor booths, and a very special tribute to the men and women serving in our military. The Taste of Country Fan Jam is back. Friday, September 11th at the Ford Idaho Center Amphitheater. Presented by Corwin Ford. Brought to you in part by your 9-area Taco Time restaurant, 8 Feathers Distillery, and Little Caesars. Get your tickets now at ictickets.com.
And thanks for joining us. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. They're not my broker-dealer. They're not the station. And we're going to talk not about what's a buy and sell, sell, sell. That's not what we do. That's not what we're going to do. In fact, if you want, I'm the anti-buy, sell, sell, sell guy. It's nonsense. It's silly. It's a complete waste of time. And, in fact, it's not just a complete waste of time. Let me rephrase that. It absolutely, most certainly will lead you in the wrong direction. Absolutely. Without question. Going the wrong way. So let's talk a little bit about that. I want to talk about in our education segments upcoming here, I want to talk about the basics. I mean, back to basics, right? I don't take this stuff for granted. It's like because I've read this stuff a zillion times and I enjoy reading it again and again. It's kind of nutty, but it's like, wow. It's just so clear. It's just so easy when we think back to the roots, isn't it? Right? It's flashy to think about, you know, high-frequency trading, and it's flashy to talk about hedge funds, you know? I always joked about, you know, like you think if you're a hedge, you know, you talk hedge funds or something, you're going to get the chicks at the cocktail party. I don't know. Or some weird new way of trading, or that we're going to guess the future. And when we do these things and we fall prey, because that's what we are, we're falling prey to that behavior. I just kind of like take a deep breath and then I just kind of go back to some of the basics and think about it and think about what John Templeton. Oh, my goodness. Now I got to stop for just 1 second because this is unbelievable. Hey, Ronaldo, take a look at this out the window right there. It's not unbelievable. Literally 5 feet away from me, I'm not joking, is a full-grown deer. It just startled me right out the window. Only in Boise, right? It's walking up, just staring at me through the window. Now it's just going to go ahead and destroy the shrubs, I guess. Anyway, funky deal. That's funny. We need a picture of that if we don't spook it. All right. Anyway, back to business, right? So as we're talking about this, and I'm sorry about that. This is rather distracting. It's a big animal like 5 feet away. Anyways, she's moving on. But as we think about this in these basics, in how we can be centered in a world that has so much noise about endless made-up stuff, some truth underneath of whatever the fear and the concern is, but then woven around that is this constant dialogue on the Internet, and on TV about how we are all going to die. And what that does is drives us to other investments, if you will, and some other what I often call packaged products. You know, a couple of hours from now you'll hear, you know, you can have stock market returns with no risk. Wow, isn't that awesome? Who doesn't want that? Apparently, Warren Buffett doesn't want it. None of the, you know, CFPs and financial advisors want it. We're just all too dumb to want stock market returns with no risk. We're all too dumb to want 18% guarantees the first year. We're all just too dumb. Dumb. But by selling fear and short-term thought process. In other words, pulling away from the basics of investing. That's how we run to that. So let's start this week by talking about what I would call the core of it, right? So why would I invest in, say, stocks? Or what other investment options do I have? What other options do I have? So as we look at just the basics, like what are the returns of other asset classes? You know, well, first of all, the rate of inflation for the last 50 years, the last 50. Is that okay? I mean, do you want a 67-year period, a 40-year period? I mean, I understand people can grab different periods of time. But over long periods, if we can assume, say, 4% rate of inflation, it's lower today. I get that. Maybe it'll be 3. But that's kind of, maybe it'll be 2 in the future, right? I mean, the Federal Reserve trying to juice that. Now we're trying to get some more inflation. 4% is what it was the last 50 years. Cash, I know it earns 0 today, but it has averaged 5 for the last 50 years. 5% for cash. How about bonds? 7% for bonds. Not bad. They won't get that now, and they're not going to get that likely for the next 50 years because, frankly, we're starting at such a low level. My goodness gracious. None of those look very attractive today, for sure. But the average was 7. And, okay, drum roll, please. What did stocks do? Come on. Everybody knows. Chant with me. Here we go. 10. Right? Because if you're 50 years old, 10. If you're 34 years old, 10. If you're 38 years old, 10. It's 10, 10, 10. If you're 83 years old, it's 10. 10 per year for your life. It's like this gravitational pull to the equator of 10. Weird. I think it's weird. I think it's absolutely amazingly weird. It's like over long periods of time, we pull back. So if you're in a period where it's lower, it'll be higher in the future to average over whatever long period you're looking at. 10. Weird. It's so weird. I think it's really bizarre that we get always back to 10. So we all know it's 10 because since 1926, it's 10. Since 1948, whatever, it's 10, right? Okay, maybe it's 10.2, maybe it's 9.9, but it's right there at 10. Weird. But the point is this. Why do we look at investing like it's some kind of short-term thing? It's an in and out. We got to be able to move. We got to know the markets big time. We got to find the right traders to do this. I'm kind of old. I don't know if I have time to recover. That's what you hear from time to time. What recovery? What are we talking about? What are you doing with investing? Here's what I would say to you. You are investing for income in all things, ultimate income. If I buy stocks, I'm buying the cash flow of those companies. I'm an owner of those companies. And the way that's expressed to the individual investors is through dividends. So when we look at it, how have dividends done over the years? Well, we all know. I mean, I've talked about this endlessly, right? How much dividends have gone up? Decade after decade after decade after decade after decade. How much they go up? Like a guy, and here's how I equate it to. We think of the stock market like a yo-yo, up and down. But let's picture a person holding a yo-yo and tossing it up and down. But that person isn't moving, they're standing. They're standing on an escalator. That escalator just consistently rises, same pace, over time, higher and higher, while the yo-yo keeps going up and down. But the escalator is their income, the income from the great corporations of the world that keep going higher, higher and higher. So as we look at all of the returns for all of the other asset classes. I know you expect me to come on and go ahead and beat up gold. Okay, I will. Thanks for asking. I will go ahead and do that because that's another one of these weird asset classes. Like, it's an asset class.
Well, how much gold should I own?
I don't know. How many pet rocks do you have? Because that's what it is. The only value I have from a pet rock is if I can find somebody else that thinks my pet rock is so super cool that they want to pay more for my pet rock than I had to pay for the pet rock in the first place. Because this little pile of gold, this little coin of gold, this little whatever, has how much yield? What is the yield on gold? Final Jeopardy question. And the answer is, of course, zero. Zero. Do you know how important it is to be, you know, compounding, say, 2-3% plus dividends for decades? Do you know what that means? It means it's like two-thirds of the rate of return of that 10% return over long periods of time comes from the dividends in the S&P. And some of those companies don't even pay dividends. And yes, that includes the companies that went bye-bye. Evaporated all of the money in the stocks, which is why you need to have a diversified portfolio, which will be part five of our overall basics series. All right, so how's gold done? Well, I think you can guess it, okay? So here's over really long periods of time, really super long periods of time. What is this? Oh, yeah, almost 200 years, 196 years. If you put $10,000, nobody had $10,000 back then, but the point's pretty valid. $10,000, if you had put that in gold, are you ready? It would be worth $26,000 today. But now, that's inflation adjusted. $26,000. So it's grown real dollars. It's more than doubled. That's awesome. Ex-inflation bonds have done 8 million. So we've gone from 26,000 to 8 million. Stocks, well, okay. So it's so big a number, and I know you're like, oh, yeah, okay, who cares? The next 200 years will be different. I can already hear it, right? You can already hear people coming on board going, no, the next 200 won't be as good. It won't be this, it won't be that. Need to have gold. Fine. Okay, it's 5.6 billion. A billion. Billion. Billion with a B. Because if you earn 3, 4, 5, 6, 7% more for a long period of time, it's a really exponential leap in value. It's not a little more. You know, see, the difference between 5% and 10% as a really classic example, the difference between earning 5 and 10 over a long period of time is not double the amount. It's not even close. It's not even close. Not even close. It's multifold. It depends how long the period. You know, if you're talking about 60 years, it's like 24-fold. But 5% to 10, isn't that double? No. It's exponential. It's exponential. Exponential. We're talking lifestyle difference here. We're talking security difference. Everybody wants to hide in some kind of security. And this is the big picture. What is security? Isn't it inflation-adjusted income you can't outlive? Does gold do that? No, it doesn't produce any income. Do bonds do that? No, they don't. They don't grow with inflation. I know some of you are going, they've got those things. They're called pips. Okay, I got it. Okay, they don't do that. They keep up with inflation. Today they pay zero. They're simply not going to work. What do we do? Do we go into this risky thing called stocks? Of course. Of course you do. But how? How do we do that? How do I do that in retirement? How do I change that? Okay, well, you're going to have to tune in for the rest of our basic series. But hey, it's the same story. I deliver all the time, right? You have to capture the long term. The long term thought. The world wants you. The news wants you. Your own human nature wants you to perceive this thing called the stock market as some kind of short-term casino to beat. You won't beat it. Just join it. Own it. It's the greatest wealth builder in all of history. Nothing. Nothing. I don't know how many numbers I could give you. You either are going to have cognitive dissonance and say, see, that just proves that I'm right. We need to buy gold. Just what he's saying is proof that... No, it's not. It's not. You can use proof that you're wrong to say I'm right. But the fact of the matter is this. If you can capture the long-term nature and draw income, rising streams of income, from assets that increase income at multiples the inflation rate through all of your lifetime. And yes, no guarantee. Past performance is not a guarantee of the future. And it's not. If we can capture that and fully embrace somehow that I am in this for a really, really long term, not a promised long term that turns into short term because I got really scared about something that Ron Paul said on the scare website and the Blood Moon and Shemitah thing that's going on over here. And what about those concentration camps or whatever they are? No! Stop it! If we can get away from the idea that our long term is subject to short term risk, It's magic. Then we begin that next phase, which is really growing up and understanding that volatility is our friend. This is our friend. If only the market would go down. Oh, gosh, I've got some money on the sidelines. If only it would pull back. Instead of saying, I cannot believe how much money we lost this last month. We can then say, no, can you believe I can buy the greatest corporations in the world for like 10% less? My goodness, Martha, this is unbelievable, isn't it? Can you believe we get this opportunity? I'm just beside myself. Let's go celebrate. We can better capture that. I know you won't feel that way, but you can better capture that if we can somehow move away. Turn the TV off. Shut it down. Pull out the charts. That big mountain chart that you see on the wall, like at our office, any office, you've seen them before. Go in and just like Google the S&P or something since 1926. Some chart will pop up. Look at it. Reflect on it. I mean, really reflect. Wow. I'll bet the people in 1963 were scared to death of a Cuban Missile Crisis. Man, that must have been something. I can't even imagine. People actually going out and building bunkers. And you know, they had a real reason to do so. Man, the market must have... that's a squiggle. That's a tiny squiggle. Yeah, but World War II, man, that must have been... That's just a squiggle. In fact, some of those years it was up. Huh. Weird. Oh, the Vietnam War and all those people dancing around the streets and burning bras and everything. The whole culture unfolding, unraveling around us. Oh. It doesn't look like the best period of time, but kind of moved from the left to the upper right. Yeah, what about the terrorist attacks when the... I got it. You got it? You know what I mean? Every single year, there's multiple reasons not to be part of this big chart. Because we think short-term, we live in a short-term world, we think of the squiggle. What's the next move in the market? Stop it. Stop it. Just stop it. You have to have intentional thought. Intentional, no, I'm not going there. No, I am not going to be thinking short-term in a long-term portfolio, in a long-term life, in a long-term world. I won't do that. I won't go there. You have to be intentional or you'll be driven out. Have to be. Have to. All right, we're going to talk about dollar cost averaging next week. I don't know what we'll talk about. We'll talk about something. Something basic next week. Stocks are it, man. They're the only thing. I know, you're just talking your book. No, I'm not. I don't care if the thing was real estate. I don't care. That's what we'd be putting more clients in. I think you own it all. But to sit around and pet our pet rocks and proclaim that we have wisdom off of some doomsday website about how our pet rock's going to soar in value and protect us, when all of the world's evidence is right in front of us, and all we have to do is have intentions to not succumb to that. That's it. I'm done with that today. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. I am way behind. Jim, you're up to bat next. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number. Let's go to a very patient caller. Jim, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Awesome, man. Awesome.
Yeah, it's about time I got up at the bat. In my life, I've played very few sports, none of which involved a bat. So it's about time.
There you go.
I'll add some levity to your program. I'll say you're a hell of a cheerleader. And, you know, a lot of people have equated the economy to the Titanic. Of course, they equate lots of things to the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
But I can just see old Dave Petso on the deck of the Titanic, you know. And there's a rumor going around that the Titanic has scraped an iceberg. And there's Dave telling everybody, now remember, people, steel is stronger than ice.
Now, that's not totally fair, but okay, I'll take that a little bit.
True. Now, the problem with the Titanic was the rivets, but other than, you know, and a lot of other stupid things.
Yeah, and of course, the arrogance that nothing can be sunk. I get that. I get the big lesson there. Sure.
Okay, now, Dave, you have led me into another one. Human arrogance getting in front of itself.
Yes.
You just heard that two guys hacked into a Cherokee Jeep. Okay, now this is where technology is going to get us. You know, when I'm driving a car, I want to drive the car. And I'm not going to drive any kind of a car that, you know, that is computer, you know, maybe it's a billion to one shot.
Right.
That's not good enough for me.
Well, I understand that, but I think there's going, and it's going to take time. There's no question in my mind. For example, aircraft will be safer having robots fly them, however, than humans, and your chances of coming down, like you said, are a billion to one. Well, get in a cab with a real human being, and your chances aren't a billion to one. There are a lot less of you getting there safely, right?
Right.
So I get that, but it's going to be a really big difference. My best guess is something like when we have the ability for automatic aircraft, that we are going to also have a pilot standing there who might as well be serving drinks, but he'll be standing there so we feel comfortable for a while.
But my own thing is, I mean, I come from a time where there used to be privacy and this, that, and the other, you know. You couldn't be tracked. I mean, granted, you can be tracked now from a satellite,
yep.
You know, but you couldn't be tracked via cell phone or via car and all this stuff, and I'm not buying it. But then again, I'm old and over the hill anyway.
I understand. And it's, no, you know what, Jim, it's like everything else. We're going through a great transition here, and I'm scared too. Honestly, I am. I just, you know, what am I going to do about it? Am I going to say we're not going to have technology in the future? That's absurd.
No, the thing is, see, I don't need a cell phone. I mean, a lot of people, you know, if people say, I can choose to do this, they bitch about a lot of things, but a lot of this is choice, you know?
Oh, sure.
Maybe you need a cell phone for work, but... but back in the good old days, now this was before everybody and their mother was running around kidnapping kids, but a kid disappeared to school and then disappeared to play, and they didn't have to be, you know, tagged or whatever.
Now, I know. It's a different, it's all different, and we coddle the children. People did disappear in the good old days, too, by the way.
Well, maybe so. Not in my neighborhood.
No, not in mine either, but you know what? Nobody disappeared in the last gazillion years in my neighborhood either.
But now, see, the thing is, we hear about a kidnapping in Egypt.
Exactly. That's why we think the good old days were all peaceful and nice. You know, when the neighbor basically beat his wife, but we didn't want to interfere or anything like that, because that was the Pearson's business, not ours.
Now, see, okay, now this gets back to fear, too, right? I mean, there's a lot of fear in the world. I believe in going with my experience. Like people say, you need a cell phone, you know, in case you're stranded, in case you're in a, I don't know, whatever. You get lost, your car breaks down. I think to myself, now, has that ever happened to me? No. What are the odds of it? I'm not afraid of that.
I know.
But they spread fear to, you know, buy this. God forbid it could happen.
I know. It's, well, there's a lot of that, but there's no doubt. All right, Jim.
I'll get another thing real quick.
Okay.
Me personally, I don't like Nike. It's my own personal thing because they start putting their logos on all these college uniforms. But anyway, the one thing of Nike that I do like is that little expression, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yesterday I was in Fred Meyer and I see this kid. And he has this T-shirt with this big swoosh upside down, and the, underneath it says, I just can't.
Wow. That's depressing. That is terrible.
Oh, I thought it was pretty good.
No, I think that kid needs some help.
No, I do not. That kid is realizing there's a different way to go, and you're not going to, you know, toe the line with some corporate logo.
Well, I understand. I understand the joke. I just, yes.
But anyway, my thing, you know, I mean, the Dow Jones can do whatever it wants to do.
Yep.
But I have bought whatever I've bought, and I am not going to sell. I don't need to sell, and I won't want to sell. I'm going down with the ship if it is a Titanic. So.
There you go. All right. Well, you can stand right next to me then.
you'll be singing in my ear, and you're my God to thee.
Yeah, okay. That sounds good. Jim, thanks a lot. You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-543-6, 580-KIDO. Hey, Mike, would you hang tough with me? I know you've been on hold for a while, but I've got to get Fox News done. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. It's with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome back, and thanks again for joining us. Let's go ahead and zip over the phones here. Let's go to Mike in Gooding. Mike, thank you so much for waiting.
You bet, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning.
One simple question for you. In terms of the Dow or the NASDAQ, we always see or hear on the radio that it was up 200 points or down 300 points or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What is the true definition of 1 point in these markets?
Mm.
Is it a percent? Is it a derivative of some complicated mathematical equation of slope or what is it? I'm gonna hang up because my cell phone's almost out of battery and I'll just listen to you.
Okay. Well, sorry you had to wait and drain your phone. Thanks for doing so.
No problem.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Have a good day. Well, you know, and by the way, our number is 580-KIDO. We've talked about how difficult these indices are because each of them has a different formula. So here's the best way to think of them. Number one, the Dow is a very poor indicator. It is the most common one. It's quoted widely. It is far and away the most quoted. And it's also far and away, I can't think of one, I want to at least, you know, have a little disclosure here. I personally cannot think of a worse index than that index. It's constructed bizarre. It's price-weighted, meaning that the higher-priced companies in there, so let's have multiples the weight of the lower price. So every price move of every stock of the 30, and it's only 30 companies, 30 gigantic companies. So that represents a one-point move in any of those translates into about, I think it's around eight. There's a multiplier or divisor is what they call it, about 8 points. But here's the problem. So you have, let's say, a $20 stock and a $100 stock, which you do have in the Dow average. So the $20 stock moves 1 point. That's a 5% move. That's a big move for a stock, right? The $100 stock moves 1 point, has the exact same effect on the Dow, and it's only a 1% move. So you can imagine bigger stocks like Apple, IBM. They move the index, 3M. Smaller dollar stocks don't. A very weird one. So it's a complicated, to answer your question specific, it's a complicated derivative of a formula that also does, I think it does very well to account for dividends, stock splits, things like that. But it is price weighted. It's a very poor index. The S&P 500 is cap weighted, meaning the size of the company determines its weight in the index. So Apple is far and away the most important. Well, basically double Google. So it is an index, even though it says 500. Yes, there are 500 stocks in there. It's 350 to 400 of them are irrelevant. Okay, certainly 350 are irrelevant. 75 have little relevance, and 75 are the entire index. So it's an index of the gigantic, but at least it's broad-based, and at least it's based on capitalization, not stock price, which is a really bizarre thing to me. Stock price makes no sense. So that's how that index works. The NASDAQ is also weighted by capitalization as well. Again, all are formulas. So here's back to your question, all the way back to say this. Great question. What does each point mean? It means look at the percentage move. That's all it means. That's all that matters. Because as the index gets bigger, a couple hundred points is 1%. Years ago when I started in the industry, a couple hundred points would have been a fourth of the market. No joke. Okay? So we have to be careful with the size, right? And that's true. That's how you also look overseas. It doesn't really matter the mathematics behind the index. If it's a broad index, you can broadly say, today the Chinese market was up. Today, the German market was up by 0.2%. Ballpark, that would be a reflection of probably, if it's a broad enough index, probably approximately what stocks did. Don't forget, we've got the Russell 2000. And actually, in a year like this, and last year is a mirror of this year. Small cap is vastly outperforming. Last year, it was a horrible performer compared to the mega cap. Okay? Mike, thanks for the call. Thank you for waiting. Hope you get a charge on that phone. And let's go ahead and try to catch up a little bit on our breaks. Our number is 580-5436, and the board is clear, by the way. If you prefer email, it's dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Petzo on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks again for joining us. Final segment here upcoming. Hey, I also, for those of you who have sent emails, I think we might get to them today. I just wanted to say, if we don't, I will respond anyway. But always we like to prioritize the phone callers. Okay, I know everybody appreciates that, but I want to let you know, for those who had sent an email earlier today, Michael, I'll get to that. I think we will. And if not, we'll get to it next week, I promise. Okay? All right, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Let's go to Richard. Thank you for holding. Richard, go ahead, please.
Yes, Dave. Our company changed 401ks and some of their investing philosophy. So they took all my individual stocks that I had in the brokerage side to cash. about a month and a half ago.
They didn't map it over. That's very interesting. You mean they didn't go from one stock fund to the other?
They did the funds, but I had individual stocks in a brokerage account.
Oh, I understand. Okay, I got you now. Okay, all right. So you had an outside within your 401k, and they liquidated that to move it over.
Right.
Okay.
And it was they didn't move it because there's no option to go individual stocks in the new 401k.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, I figured if I went back to the mutual funds, stock mutual funds, it would be kind of a wash. So I put half of it, half of the cash, into the stock mutual funds. They're down a little bit since I put it in, so the other half, I'm not sure if I should go ahead and put all that in at the same time now, too,
mm-hmm.
or if I should dollar cost average it back in, or...
Richard, two things. How old are you?
62.
Okay, so you're going to be a couple more years?
Probably roll it over into an IRA within a year.
Within a year. Okay, are you going to keep it in stocks after you retire and just draw, like, dividends?
Keep it in stocks or mutual funds,
yes,
after I retire.
Okay. So you're thinking of this really as long-term. You just want to start maybe drawing income from it.
Possibly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Richard, I think this is a comfort type of question. You were in the market, and you can just go ahead and put it all in now, and it's going to be where you were, right?
More or less.
Okay. Okay,
yeah.
So you must have had some cash over in the other account, too. Okay, here's what I would say. You decide how you want to do this. Either say, hey, if I got, like, another 5% break, I'll take it. You can do that, but you got to live with it. Because, you know, you've heard me talk about this before. As soon as it goes down 5, everybody's sure it's going down 10, right?
Right.
You need line in the sand, okay? I know it's going to look ugly, but I'm going in. Or you just say, over the next 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, however you want, divide it up, throw it in. And if you want, you can always go with more of the equity income type approach. Dividend payers, they tend to be less volatile. Although I would argue that the valuations are much higher in that category right now than it is on the growth side.
Okay, it seems that I'm looking at taking it out in 9 to 12 months. It would be better to be in the market than in cash for those 9 months, even if they take me to cash again if I have to get out.
Yeah, here's why. What are you going to do in 9 months? You're going to roll it over into stocks again, are you not?
Right, but it will be ones that I can control rather than their choice.
Rather than their choice, yes. But now, unless these are horrible money managers that you're forced to go into, I would argue that you doing your own individual stock investing is probably not going to do as well as carefully selected funds in a mutual funds scenario, especially when it comes to trying to draw income. Okay?
Okay.
Now, if it's something, though, you know what? I dig doing this. This is what I want to do. I can't wait till I retire, roll it over, and I get to pick all my own. And I love spending gobs of time doing that. If that's you, that's fine. Then you can go ahead and plan on doing that, but you are still going to be moving to stocks from stocks, so I have no problem with you investing today. But if you want, but you should do it on a basis that makes you feel comfortable and not stupid when we have a normal market correction, right? So just because you put it in tomorrow and the market goes down another 5%, that doesn't make you stupid. It doesn't at all. That's a normal function of markets that try to make us feel stupid all the time when we're doing the right thing. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And it really is, a function of, it is very difficult to not feel dumb all the time in the market. It really is. So what's the right answer? The right answer always has been just putting the money in. Put the money in. That's the best time to invest. But then when we do put it all in and the market has a correction, we wish we had some capital left. So do it in the most comfortable way to you. Okay? Would you please comment, Dave, quick email here. Would you please comment on Hillary Clinton's proposal to raise capital gains? Here's the story. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Yes, I will comment on that, actually. I know it sounds political. It's not political. It's financial. It's more pandering from Hillary Clinton to try to, quote, equal. And this is somebody that gets to give speeches if you give away secrets or you give business away as the head of the Department of or the Secretary of whatever. Jeez, I just can't even think right now. I'm running out of time and I'm panicking. Anyway, as you, she's done this and got all these speeches and makes millions and millions of dollars, so it doesn't matter to her. So let's pander to the people that just want those evil rich people like her taxed more. The answer is creating capital in and taxing it to death if people take risk is not a good financial thing. It does not help the economy. Therefore, it does not help the lowest paid people to create jobs. It's stupid. It's another stupid idea to raise taxes on the idea of people starting businesses and employing people. We've got to stop thinking this way. We really do. It's not a progressive or liberal idea versus conservative. It's stupidity versus being and looking at the evidence of history when it comes to economics. Everybody have a great weekend. I sure appreciate you spending your time with us this morning. Shoot over emails if you have any questions. Talk to you next week.
Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petzl Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petzl, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petzl Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. These are the opinions of Dave Petzl and are based on information from sources believed to be reliable but may change as information changes or becomes outdated. Nor should any opinion contained herein be construed or considered as a solicitation to buy or sell any particular investment product. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Asset allocation and diversification strategies cannot fully guarantee against loss. The past performance does not guarantee future results.